You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
As usual, we start off with how the markets have been moving throughout the day. And joining me on a Wednesday is Sasfin Wealth's David Shapiro to reflect on this. Good evening, Uncle David. Nice to speak to you again. Hope you're back from the US because clearly the US markets are going sideways again.
I'm still here.
So you were there when the inflation print was put out.
Jimmy, it's third month in a row that everybody's got it wrong. And I just think it's time we kind of moved on saying, okay, this is not going to happen. Stop being obsessive about it. We don't quite understand it. It's odd issues that are making inflation up. We've got to learn to adapt to perhaps a rate, call it the 10-year rate, that's going to hover around 4.5. And you've got to look at companies that can survive with rates at these levels and those that are going to feel the pressure. But, I mean, just to spend month after month obsessing and getting it wrong makes life, very, very difficult. But we are coming into the earnings season now and again. And I think that's going to dominate probably more so than inflation, particularly companies that are focused or are part of the AI chain. Supply chain. So I think that's going to take over, as we go into that area.
You'd think we would have learned from coming out of the pandemic. We came into 2021. We thought we knew what was happening. It didn't happen. We thought we were going to get it right in 2022. It didn't happen. You'd think by now that the markets would learn not to predict things and rather actually wait for the information. That doesn't seem to be the case. And if we look at this earnings period that's coming up now, the banks obviously kick us off as usual in earnings season. They're likely to also be more cautious now because higher for longer seems to be the theme that will persist.
Yeah, exactly. What it does do is it holds back a lot of spending, particularly corporate spending. It does put pressure on those people who have borrowed. And it's very real. One of the conversations that I have been having here, because I've been a little flippant in the sense that I've been looking at AI stocks and the tech stocks. But when you talk about people at ground level, there's a huge complaint about inflation. There's a huge complaint about what higher interest rates are doing to them. So not everybody is wealthy and, spending lots of money. So the economy is under strain of higher interest rates. But with inflation not going down, I'm afraid we're going to just have to suffer that a little longer. But it's a real point. We tend to look at the rich areas, whether it's New York and where I've been in Boston and some of the richest cities. But I think for most of the country, they do feel the higher rates, particularly in property and particularly those who've borrowed, who have financed their businesses as well as their purchases. So it's still a big issue. But I think we're obsessing about it to a point where we're getting it wrong all the time. And you were quite clever in the way that you said, yes, when we came out of the pandemic, we said it's transitory. It wasn't transitory. So there are a lot of things that, we're not building into the models, or economists or strategists are not building into the models. They haven't got it right.
Uncle David, I like that you bring up the models, because that's all we're doing in the markets, right? Is we build a model, we hope it works. Yeah. But the one thing that the model hasn't priced in, and I think perhaps this is where we're starting to see it, is we're quick to forget that we saw a $2 trillion stimulus package in 2021 out of the US. Now, obviously, that has to come through in some way, shape, or form in the market. And from where I'm sitting, that's what's starting to make sense here, is that the prolonged inflation, the higher for longer, the market seemingly strong, and the soft landing or no landing narrative is stemming from the fact that there is $2 trillion that is new in the market that hasn't had time to be accounted for, even if we'd say this was in 2021.
Very well put. It's exactly that. We still got to work that through. And this is something that no one's been able to really judge correctly. And remember, the people who have designed these models and are making the forecast are extremely high paid professionals, at some of the largest banks in the world, or at the largest banks in the world. So they're not getting it right. It's not likely we're going to get it right. So I'm saying, look, let's move on. Okay, let's take a worst case scenario, 4.5%. whatever it is on the 10-year bond and take, you know, work out the yield curve from that. What companies can survive? Who's still going to do well? Where's the action now? And, kind of adapt your policy around that. Jimmy, the one thing that does worry me is that if U.S. doesn't start reducing rates, and now this seems to be a pushed out quite a bit, you know, they've written off a June reduction, and from four cuts this year, it's now down to two, and it's even unlikely that we might get two.
Mm.
What happens, the worry is back home in South Africa, because we're going to take our guidance from what happens in America. We're not likely to start reducing rates while America retains rates where it is, because that will reflect on the rand. And this morning you saw the rand, or today the rand's at 1876 from what, 1845 overnight. So it shows you how fast it can turn around, when the dollar strengthens.
Mm.
That's my worry. What can we continue to survive with our rates as high as they are?
Let's look into that, Uncle David, because when we spoke about this exact point the last time, the conversation we had was to say that perhaps countries are going to start looking to regionalize their responses, because at the end of the day, even if all of the economies around the world are going to wait for the US, that's not going to happen. And we spoke about Europe in the fact that the European market is already seeing a slowdown in growth, and they're already ready to cut to bolster growth.
Yeah.
Now, in the South African context, obviously, we have a lot more challenges to deal with being a developing economy and all of those things. But what I am starting to see as well is the fact that risk seems to be returning to the PGMs. PGMs are saying, you know what, we might be in this situation inevitably, so why not go back to affordable stocks?
That's the problem. We've been building in rate cuts in the US. We've been building in a softer dollar. You know, we've been building this view that rates are going to come down, whether it's, 4, 3, or 2, whatever it is. Suddenly, we're taking that off the table. And that's the worry. So you'll probably find commodity prices also starting to hover. Even the dollar, even the gold, which has been central bank buying, and people who believe that the dollar was going to get weaker or buying gold, that also might hesitate a bit, although there seems to be a lot of momentum behind it. So you see, I agree with you from regionalizing, but I don't think the Reserve Bank are thinking that way. When you listen to Lissette, he's worried about the rand, and he says it makes us uncompetitive. You know, in other words, talking about the currency.
Mm.
So I don't think he's going to do anything until the US starts, the dollar starts to fall, or so on.
I think that part of that problem.
I promise you, it's a very difficult situation for us to try and think our way through this.
Absolutely.
Not easy.
Mm-mm. And I think part of that problem around the rand narrative is because the currency risk premium as a result of things like the elections, like logistics, like load shedding, those challenges is something the Reserve Bank governor has zero control over. So his toolbox is not equipped to deal with that. And that puts him in a precarious position. That being said, how do we navigate the precarious positions? Where do we find value? Because South African stocks and South Africa Inc. is still very attractive by global comparisons, and if global markets are going to be struggling, they're going to start to look to emerging markets.
Yeah, I don't think we're in a position yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got a lot of work. We still got to get through the election, and there's so many permutations around that, and that's going to be an issue. I was just reading Justice Malala this morning, and I love his commentary on that. And, you know, if there is an EFF-ANC coalition, I don't think that's going to go down well. As he says, with Floyd as the Minister of Finance, I'm not sure people are going to celebrate that. So I mean, we're struggling with all these issues. You know, the one redeeming feature on our market has been gold. And we don't have enough mines really to make it, you know, to turn it into a boom. That era has passed us. But still, we level, we steady. I still like global markets. I still think that the AI story is going to be the biggest driver that we have in for a long time. But I mean, locally, there's so much work to do. I wish I had an easy solution.
And that easy solution is exactly what consumers are looking for, is exactly what the market is looking for, is to say, how do we survive the pressures that we're going through? And speaking of these pressures, as you mentioned, that suggestion of the new finance minister, or the potential new finance minister, I couldn't help but have a flashback to December of 2015, which we will not revisit, because that was a very difficult time for those 3 days. But as we wrap up, Uncle David, let's look at the gold price that you mentioned. Sitting at about $2,300 an ounce here, we're targeting around 2,500. Banks in the US, the likes of JP Morgan, Morgan Stanley, have revised their targets from 2,250 up to 2,500. Do we foresee gold stocks in South Africa benefiting from this, at least in the short to medium term?
Oh, yes. The operational gearing's there. It's funny, I just took out a chart because I had this belief that gold would have outperformed all of them. But by far the best performer, and it hasn't been steady, has been Gold Fields. I mean, it's up and down. So understand the kind of ride you go through. But if you would have taken gold shares rather than gold over 5 years ago, you would have done much better in the miners. Maybe with the exception of Anglo Gold, which has been the laggard, which has just tracked the gold price. And I'm working in rands, but Goldfields, Harmony, all of these have been absolute winners over a five-year period, far outperforming the actual gold price. So if gold goes up to 2,500, gold miners are in a far better position, far better gearing position to benefit than the gold price.
That's going to be interesting to keep an eye on, and we will certainly do that. Those that are invested in gold stocks, please don't take the conversation that Uncle David and I are having as financial advice. Pick your entry levels properly. Don't come back to us and say you bought at the top and it's our fault. But we'll leave it at that. Thanks as always, Uncle David, for the conversation. David Shapiro of Sasfin Wealth on market movements throughout the day, on the gold price, on US inflation, and everything in between.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app, and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.